Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for this Ask Me Anything chill show. I've been working all day planting. I'm almost done. I'm almost done planting the full garden. I have planted half of the raised bed. The raised bed is now in function with automated watering. I have automated watering on my potatoes, onions, the whole greenhouse. It's going extremely well. Not much is happening in the news. Yesterday, I did this debate, Sint versus J.F. Gariepy on nihilism. I think I did a solid performance. I'm satisfied. Of course, the second subject I didn't care about that much because I'm not that much for the death penalty. I think sometimes it may be too costly. Sometimes it may be just as good as a lifetime sentence. But since they wanted to debate this, I said, why not? I can debate any position, including a position I don't believe in. So I debated on the side of death penalty. On the side of moral nihilism, I think I got sent into a corner where I haven't expressed it that way, but I think Beau Badger has the right words to describe the error on the Sint side. He says, is it me or is Sint's argument at one point boiling down to morals are factual / can be objective because moral beliefs / positions / preferences exist objectively in the universe, in people's minds? I think the problem here is that there is some underhanded and sneaky equivocation going on. It can be an objective fact that people believe X to be wrong. However, that doesn't translate to the content of said belief X is wrong, being an objective truth. It is an objective fact of the universe that inside the neural connections in the brains of children, there is a pattern we can identify which makes children believe that Santa Claus exists and is real. However, that does not translate to Santa Claus being an objective fact of the universe. There is no Santa Claus. Sint's argument is hanging on this notion that just because it is objectively true that people have beliefs, this somehow makes morality itself objective. Then Sint is making a massive logical leap. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what has happened in the debate yesterday. Sint has stood for, well, ultimately it's objective because it's in my brain and my brain is an object. Well, by this standard, there are no subjective beliefs. Everything is objective if you're a materialist by this standard. Of course, what we mean by subjective is there are things in the universe that are agents and they have feelings and beliefs, and there are things that don't have feelings and belief. And when we say subjective, we mean that the content refers to something that comes from inside a thinking agent. So I'm satisfied. I think it was a funny debate. We had fun. There was no big competition because Sint and I have already debated many times, I think twice before or once, I don't remember. There was no goal to destroy each other, but it was just pure fun, and I got to talk about Rapeland and the good people of Rapeland and how he was a bigot against them. He was regarding them as lesser, but I was mentioning that the people on Rapeland, they are also regarding Sint from planet Earth as backward. John Drake says, Odyssey claims they fixed buffering issues. Yeah, I've seen that claim, and I haven't gotten much complaints, so it may have been resolved. May have been resolved. FD says, so moral nihilism is true regardless of moral preferences? Exactly. Moral nihilism is a statement about the structure of morality and what we talk about when we talk about morality. It's a factual statement about systems and whether moral sentences make sense from a true or false perspective. that is a matter of fact, or you could say it's a matter of philosophy and epistemology, but it doesn't make any statement within the moral domain. The minute you adhere to moral nihilism or you don't, it doesn't change anything. You still don't like rape, you still don't like murder. Firestarter says, a rape land, no one wants sex, but everyone is getting laid. Well, there are different rape lands that I'm ready to invoke depending on what my adversary... I didn't get in deep during the debate, but you know, someone could ask what you just asked, and my answer could be, well, on rape land, only the men rape all of the women. So the women never consent and the men always rape them. And you can give various features to rape land so that would work. And it would be the only way to survive. Ultimately, the argument from rape land is, look, JF, we were on a bizarre planet and somehow all of the women didn't want to breed. And so it was either we won't exist or we have to rape. And because it was this choice, we made the choice that existence is worth it. Existence, even existence in perpetual rape, is better than non-existence at all. It's better than death for the whole species. So that's how you get into rape land. Dead Star says, my brain completely rejects these debates. They go in one ear and out the other. Okay, bro. <It's, laughs> you don't have to like it. Pineapple Platypotamus says, JF, can you write a book called Rape Land? I don't think I will ever. I don't think it would survive on Amazon for very long. Pineapple Platypotamus says, you all know the logical choice there. Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, existence is worth it, even in a relatively evil world, you know? San Francisco housed Soros-backed uber-progressive DA in a recall vote, so Chesa Boudin, I would say in French, Boudin, Chesa Boudin has been voted out of the district attorney position in San Francisco at 61.3% of the voters. He was this kind of soft-on-crime type of guy who was arguing for putting criminals back on the street. And I think it's the beginning of the backlash. I think we've attained peak. We've attained peak trends. We've seen it on the statistics. We've now attained peak wokeness in district attorneys, i.e. even the citizens of a very liberal city, even they eventually realize that their beliefs cannot be implemented in a decent functioning society. And they realize, okay, we do have to apply the law. So this guy was part of the effort to basically decriminalize theft, among other things, you know, not prosecute somehow theft that goes on for less than $800. It's a good thing that he got kicked, and it's a good thing that the leftists get to realize their view of the world is not sustainable. Here's another thing that peaked. Drug use in 10th to 12th grade. So look at this, 10th grade. In 2020 and before, you had about 30% of the children reporting having consumed drugs. It's down 11.7% for the 10th grade, 5.4% for the 8th grade, and 4.8% for the 12th grade. There is an upcoming generation that will be less degenerate, believe it or not, than the boomers and what came after. Wonderful. Wonderful. We have peak trends, we have peak wokeness in district attorneys, and we have peak drug consumption in the youth. Wonderful. John Drake says, I remember you talked about a real country where men kidnap women and force them into marriage. Can't remember which country. Does anyone remember this? Let me... is it Tajikistan? It's a Vice documentary on wife kidnapping. So if I type this, bride kidnapping in Kyrgyzstan. So that's the country, Kyrgyzstan. And this Vice documentary is absolutely fantastic. These guys are being followed by the camera. They're just going to go kidnap their wife for their friend and kidnap a wife for their friend. And the guy of Vice is so, it's like, you know, these edgy liberal filmmakers, it's like you would think they're ready to see anything, but it makes them so feel so uncomfortable. He's like close to the camera and they're looking at the girl, because then there's the whole session where they take the kidnapped girl, they put her on a chair, and then you have the grandmothers and the old people of the village coming to stuff candies in her mouth to kind of reassure her and say, see, you get sugar if you, you know, just accept that it's happening. And she's there crying and yelling, and they're just stuffing candies in her mouth, trying to kind of balance the act of kidnapping that has just happened. And so, yes, often, if we get deep into the rape land discussion, very often my big kicker at the end is to say, rape land is not another planet. Rape land exists right here on planet Earth. Rape land is called Kyrgyzstan. Listen, it's a way to live, and it seems to have been encoded in a kind of cultural set of expectations where actually right after the kidnapping, you know, the family goes to see the family of the woman that got kidnapped, and they're all prepared. They have a whole meal on the table, and it's like, and the documentarist was like, why are they prepared? But, and they're like, well, you know, they knew they were going to kidnap her, so it was all set up, basically. And so they come to the table and they're like, yeah, we want to apologize for kidnapping your daughter, but is it okay, you know? And they're like, yeah, it's okay. So it seems to have been codified in a sort of acceptable cultural system where somehow you go make a fake apology and they make a fake acceptance. Basically, it's another form of arranged marriage. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Jeff, if there ever will be a feminist rape and land novel, it will be written by you. What does that even mean? Tonight is Ask Me Anything. If you would like to join the show, you can join the Discord server. I am in the JF Lounge right now, so the link to the Discord server is in the description below. If you would like to call, you click on the waiting room. And whenever I see people on the waiting room, when I'm ready to talk to you, I will slide you in the JF Lounge and you will be live. Feel free to come and talk to us about your life or questions or anything you might have on your mind. As far as super chats, if you would like to support the show, use the Odyssey option. The dollar button in the regular chat below is the favorite option to support the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link is right below the video. The US House has voted to increase the minimum age for buying semi-automatic weapons to 21. 10 Republicans voted in favor. This is the federal House trying to make it to 21 for buying semi-automatic rifles across the country, I don't believe it will pass because it's a relatively tight decision in the House. In the Senate, you're not going to have big support for this. Joe Manchin might very well side with the Democrats on this one, but you're probably not going to reach the filibuster threshold of 60%. So I don't think we have to be particularly worried. And even if that was to pass the Senate, I wouldn't be surprised if that would be unconstitutional and the Supreme Court would eventually undermine this law. Pocket Kings says, so Jeff, recent studies have shown that there is a lot more hybridization going on between species than originally thought. Genetic studies now show that many insects, fish, bears, plants, whales, and dolphins are in fact hybrids and not pure specimens. What do you think this means for technologies? What does it mean for technologies? I don't think it means anything for technologies. I think it just blurs the conception of highly bounded species, which if you're a biologist like me, you've already had given up this concept. So I'm not attached to a conception of species as being clear-cut. I've always pointed out that in species there are subcategories and there's preferential breeding and there's outside of the species breeding. So to me, it's certainly not a surprise. And I think that if you've been following the science on this, you are not surprised by this. The concept of a species is a human-created concept. There is a process by which things get specified. There is, as Brett Weinstein says it, we have focused too much on the term species and we should have focused on the term speciation. Speciation is constantly happening, but it's also never quite finished, you know. There's no end to speciation. If there was an end, that would be the end of life, really. Pocket Kings says, scientists advocating for the gene drive to eliminate certain disease, promoting mosquitoes while saving the others, promote the technology by stating that there is little horizontal transfer of genetic info between different mosquitoes. Oh, well, okay, if you're talking about that technology, then yes, we should have been wary of that technology crossing the species barrier, certainly. I mean, we're playing with all these molecular tools. We're spreading this in nature where they will keep on going in uncontrollable ways. Definitely, we've not been careful and we shouldn't be doing much of this ecological interventionism. So if you're asking specifically about this technology, yes, it's bad, but it was bad before we fully understood the spreading, the boundary species to be loose. Because the boundary species being loose is not the main problem with gene drive technology. The thing is, they're going to argue, a proponent of gene drive technology would tell you, well, okay, species aren't super bounded, but doesn't matter. We're just going to accidentally kill some other mosquito. It's not like a human being is going to have sex with a female mosquito. And they would be right, you know, that there are limits, there are physical limits to the act of sex happening at all, given the distanciation between different life forms. I think that the main problem of gene drive technology is not so much sex happening, but it is virus transport and accidental transport and just accidental application of the CRISPR tools happening in nature. We don't know how much of this will happen, but the more we use it, the more it's likely to happen. LBRT sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He sticks an emoji of a Odyssey character pissing onto YouTube. I think that's totally appropriate. We should piss on YouTube. I can't wait for YouTube to be MySpace. I don't think it's going to happen within 6 months, but I'll probably still be alive when YouTube is a cringe place to be. So it's in that spirit that I have transferred to Odyssey, where we benefit from some more liberty to just discuss reasonable stuff. It's not like there's anything unreasonable that I want to discuss. Just regular political discussion, the kind that cannot survive anymore on YouTube. Firestarter says, Jeff, do you think the free market is a democratic system? Well, those are very, very loaded words, and they point to different things. So the free market is not democratic, and democracy is not the free market. However, these two things go hand in hand, and there is something in the free market that amounts to a kind of democratic system, but it's not democratic because when you talk about democracy, you're talking about valuing the individual decision maker as a unit of decision in a vote. So in a democracy, your vote counts for one, my vote counts for one. In the free market, it's not like this. It's not like this. In the free market, your vote is your dollar. And so if you have $200 and I have $1, you can vote 200 times more than me in what will happen with the market. You can appropriate possessions in the market at a 200 times what I can acquire. So this is definitely not democratic. It is meritocratic. In other words, you have to deserve $200 first so you can spend it. So there's definitely a big separation between the two concepts. Although they walk hand in hand beautifully in a nation that prioritizes liberty like America, in a kind of small government nation, not America today, but America 200 years ago, democracy becomes the system that manages the common, and the free market becomes the system that manages the private decisions. The big problem being the commons can be overtaken by evil agents. That's what was not resolved in America. And as the democratic system gets taken by evil agents, they expand it to the with as a consequence the destruction of the free market and free and private success. Dead Star sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, is it moral or immoral for the human mind to influence our heart to beat? I hate to break it to you as a surgeon, but the heart keeps beating without the human mind. There is a pacemaker set of cells and neural connections that excite the full heart independent of the brain. What the brain can do is it can heighten your adrenaline content. It can either turn on the sympathetic or parasympathetic systems, and this will influence the rate of beating of your heart. You cannot, through your brain, decide to stop your heart from beating. And that's because your heart literally can be taken out of your chest and will keep beating. It doesn't need a signal from the brain to do so. Fascinating, isn't it? Yes, so there, is it moral or immoral? It is evolutionarily necessary for the brain to have some amount of control on the frequency of the heartbeat. Because if you cannot increase your heartbeat while you run or while you do some exercise, you're going to be lacking oxygen. LBRT sends 150 LBC, a little extra for embracing Odyssey so much. Yeah, I mean, you know, when I decide I'm leaving YouTube, I'm building Odyssey, it's a serious decision. It's a decision that comes at a cost to me, you know, because I don't have this. Even when I had a 1,000, 2,000 audience per video on YouTube, that's still a considerable amount of money that was coming in the form of ads. I don't have that revenue anymore. And of course, the audience gets smaller. Any shift, any change you make on the internet, you always have to rebuild a little bit. So you always lose a little bit. But I made this decision because first, I'm comfortable enough economically that I can sustain a lower audience for a year, 2 years, 5 years, I don't know. But I see a future in which Odyssey is the place to be. And I want not only to be in that future, I want to help create that future. See how we created Entropy? I mean, I didn't create Entropy, but I was the first streamer on it. Ultimately, Entropy works today because I led the way. I showed, look, it can work. People can click on a separate window for super chats. And I'm going to keep doing that because I think it's my responsibility as someone who's been absolutely targeted and destroyed by the regime. I will do everything I can to offer the technical and technological carpet that we need to build a new world independent of the regime. Pineapple Platypotamus says, I didn't know you were the first one on Entropy. Yes, and you know, today the normies know about Entropy. I was the first streamer on Entropy. It wasn't even available to the public. I helped them develop that. And I was always giving them counseling and telling them, you know, here's what you can fix it, here's what people won't like. So I did this all for free. I'm not part of their team, I'm not soliciting a salary or anything, and I don't have interest in their company, but I want to do some volunteer work of that kind that sometimes even comes at an actual cost to me, so that we can build the next internet. That matters so much. Raised Fist says, really? The first? Yeah, I was the first on Entropy. I mean, they opened their beta and they contacted me by email. And I said, yeah, let's see what we can do with this. Pineapple Platypotamus says, awesome to hear, JF. So their higher ups must like this show. Well, I believe that Entropy, they are Canadian people. I don't know them in super detail, but they are Canadian people who saw the Bloodsports era. They saw the development of super chats working super well, and then they saw YouTube cracking down on it. So they saw an opportunity there. There's these thousands of people who are willing to send huge amounts of money through super chat, and then there's YouTube who says, we don't want your money. And so, of course, something has to develop. LBRT sends another 50 LBC. He says, I think it will pay off. I believe you will be rewarded for early adoption, likely as a top Odyssey channel. That would be the goal. And like everything I do in these things, I'm a trailblazer. And I'll get beaten. I mean, no doubt that the bigger guys, Sticks or whoever is the equivalent of Sticks in 2040, will become much bigger than me on Odyssey. But it doesn't matter. That's all I care about in life, trailblazing. To some extent, to my detriment, because I'm not a guy who will autistically exploit a mine of potential profit. You know, I want to jump to the next thing. I want to pave the way and then say, okay, so that works. And once the way is paved, I'm elsewhere. Representative Matt Gates, commenting on the Democrats' plan to attack, to create gun laws.
Heard the plan from Democrats. This is not a modest trimming around the edges of gun laws. It has been a full-throated assault on the Second Amendment, a desire to deprive people of the weapons that they choose at the age that they achieve majority. And we've heard countless examples of where the good guy with the gun has been the difference between more or less bloodshed. But this is particularly an aggrieved time to bring this legislation forward, because we heard the Speaker of the House recently say that members of the Republican Party were members of a cult. So you now have House Democrats demeaning, defaming, calling extremists tens of millions of Americans while they try to disarm you and then subsequently defund the police. And so no good guys are coming when the woke mob ends up at your door. That's their plan for America. And gun control, unrestrained gun control, is a key part of it. And just
Firestarter says Getz isn't in jail. Of course not. They create all these this coverage around him and his sex life, and But nothing seems to amount to something that would be prosecutable, I believe. There's something about the media coverage of this whole shooting spree that I really don't like. How they're politicizing the feelings of the victims, the families, pediatrician on shooting aftermath. I'll never forget what I saw. The doctor described in graphic detail how school shooting victims had been so brutalized the only clue to their identities was blood-spattered cartoon clots. My problem here, you don't see the media doing this when it comes down to people being the victim of home invasions by criminals. And you know, you could give these gory details there also. And then you want to disarm people, which will inevitably lead their house to be less sicker. If it is known across America that people have been disarmed, to whatever degree, it's now more safe for a criminal to do a home invasion. And there's not going to be a single CNN article about the thousands of home invasion and murder and rape that are happening by criminals. It's always these specific ideological shootings that are being used as the cherry picked by the leftist media for their plan to disarm you. But just how many rapes are not happening, how many murders are not happening, how many house invasion and burglary are not happening just because weapons are known to be distributed across America. This is uncountable. And it's not coverable in a mainstream media article. We have James joining us. James is on the Discord. How are you doing, James? Oh, I think I have a problem on my side. Let me just make sure that the crowd hears you. Oh my god, where did they put video, audio? Hello, can you start speaking? Oh no, here, let's try again. Hello, can you start speaking? Okay, I think we got it. Hello, James.
Hello. You can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I was just saying, hey, JF. I was listening to your moral nihilism debate this morning.
Yes.
And I was very
interested.
You
have a long trajectory of thinking about moral nihilism yourself.
Yes, I love that topic. It's one of the most fascinating topics. And I have to thank you, though, because I never really able to conceptualize that topic in full until you really laid it out years ago for the first time. So oh, yeah. I have to give you all the credit for that one.
Oh, but that's a long time ago. My old moral nihilism videos that were gathering 600 views before. I mean, people don't like this subject. It doesn't drag much attention.
Yeah, it's so important, though. It really is the foundation for a lot of opinions beyond that. It's really like just like a gene based evolutionary concepts are really the foundation for so much further concepts and thinking. Moral nihilism really is the way you should really conceptualize society if you want to build anything.
Exactly. Everything from Sam Harris, all philosophical, political discussions, all of them, if you just put the little lens of moral nihilism, it suddenly becomes more clear. Is the person arguing about a fact? What is the person trying to appeal to? What is the root of their morality? It becomes so clear when you understand that the moral world has these arbitrary axioms motivating it.
Yes. And when I was listening to your debate this morning, it reminded me of this book I read many years ago, Michel Foucault, Madness and Civilization. Oh. The History of Insanity in the Age of Reason. Have you ever read that before?
No, but I've heard about it. I've seen segments of it. So what is it about?
Well, it's by one of the fathers of the far left movement. So You would think it would be a terrible book. But strangely, I love this book. I resonate with most of what he says in this book, eerily enough.
So what and is the about insanity of Foucault? What does it mean?
Well, I'll explain it briefly. It's about in the Middle Ages, at the end of the Middle Ages, leprosy, this disease that was ravaging the world for a good 2,000 years, was finally eliminated at the end of the Middle Ages. And they had what was called leprosiums, these houses where they would send people that had leprosy to go recover or die and just be away from the population. But they had these things. And once these things disappeared, because the disease disappeared, they still had all these buildings and they had to figure out what to do with them. And they eventually decided that they would send the people on the streets that were labeled as mad as into these houses. And that was the start of the insane asylums. And wow. Before that, like during the late Middle Ages and thousands of years before that, people with so-called deviant or divergent mental abilities and behavior were not always, they were viewed with skepticism, but they were viewed with some amount of respect, like we should at least hear them out or maybe think that they have a point of view because they have such different ways of thinking as everyone else, that they were viewed with some respect and they were often seen as truth tellers in a way.
So their removal from society would have created an effect of habituation. These people must be taken away. They have to be away. We can't hear what they have to say.
Yeah, it kind of, in a way, it conservatized society to where people only heard one neurological type for the next 300, 400 years till today. Wow. We only heard neurotypical people. And we don't hear from these so-called crazy people anymore because they're locked away and we can't, they're not on the streets yelling their crazy things. And or maybe they would be, if they were treated with some respect, maybe they would be maybe a bit more amenable to society.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating because I knew that we were doing this. I knew that the modern world is doing this. We're keeping cognitive diversity across the normocentric, societally defined way of being normal. But I didn't know it dated back to that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fascinating thesis. I wish I could talk like in depth about it for hours with you, but I read the book about 8 years ago, so I'm not remembering all the details, but I'm going to read it again. And once I read it again, I'll talk with you again and explain the little details of it. And maybe we could go way in depth with it.
I'm very interested about hearing it. I'm afraid that given Michel Foucault's own preferences, this will all lead to a conception of the victimized queer of the modern world being rejected from society. And ultimately, it's going to feed into some kind of LGBT revolt against the patriarchy.
I remember that when reading it, that it stayed pretty neutral for most of the book, but near the end, some of the conclusions drawn, I disagreed with. But most of it was pretty neutral and kind of stick towards like a historical grounding for most of the book.
But since you read it years ago, it's going to be very interesting to see, can you look at it through a different lens now that you are seeing?
I wonder.
You're going to see him coming from much further away now that we've been used to so much wokeness and basically the products of Michel Foucault's thought. I guess that you've heard from just being on YouTube, you've seen enough SJWs that you know their patterns, you know how they're getting to their point.
Yes, it's fascinating to see how I'll be able to draw, I think, a lot more, because it's 8 years ago, I was way behind what I am today. So hopefully I can draw a lot more out of it.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about tonight?
No, it's just that short little topic, but have a good evening, JF.
All right. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Ariel Soares says, James has never been left-wing. I commend him. Yeah, James is one interesting case because for the kind of community we are in, there are two paths. You know, to become a right-wing person of some kind, there are two paths, and a right-wing moral nihilist specifically, because James has followed me down this path also. You can be a former leftist like I am, you know, being raised in the college system. There was only Marxism around me. There was only state funding for my project. So by kind of necessity, although I was always libertarian minded, I was in a world that was heavily inciting me to develop beliefs that justify the state. But James didn't have to go through this because James is initially a religious, like, strong believer, like, to the point of having arguments about religion and to the point of engaging in some degree of preaching and coordination of faith with other faithful people, building of religious communities. So James had this switch from this lifestyle, preacher style type of life, to direct moral nihilism. That is much rarer. Because the people who get involved in that degree of religiosity very rarely will come to their senses and abandon these views all of a sudden and say, oh yeah, you know what, I acknowledge I was self-deceiving about God. Mama JF says, if you are born in Quebec, you are born left-winger. Yeah. Oh yeah, and Fractalman says, Mama JF, even rural Quebec? Yes, even rural Quebec. There is no such thing as, you know, there is a little segment of the Quebec population around the city of Quebec for some reason that tends to vote conservative, but they vote for a conservative party that would basically qualify as far left in the US. So yeah, basically all across Quebec is a nationalist leftist place. So, and the question of whether you end up being a nationalist or a federalist basically depends on just how much your family's work and salaries depend on the federal government or the provincial government. So, as such, Quebec has a big nationalist trend, but that nationalism is left-wing. It's a left-wing nationalism. Now, JF says, I don't know, lol, but I've never seen a right-wing Quebecois. JF was the first one. I didn't even know there was a right wing before. That is true. I mean, it's very hard to explain to people in the US. You wouldn't believe just how take all of the stuff that normal societies, normies adhere to in Quebec. This includes left-wing politics. Left-wing politics is p part of the package to be normal in Quebec. And if you are a right-winger, if you anyhow, like even a center-right person or even a centrist, you are abnormal in Quebec, and you're some wacko on some radio show maybe, but you're not part of the main normal society. Ariel Suarez says, Mama JF, are you right-wing yourself?
Oh yes, I'm a right winger now.
Okay.
Hey, I remember the first time I told my sister that about the right wing. She was like, no, we are left wing. I was like, why is it assumed? Like, it's assumed. But me, my family, it was even worse. Like, they are really badly. Like, even my mother, my mother, she's like. But actually, she's a right winger. But she say that she's a left wing. Like she was a stay-at-home mom. But she say you have women have to work just to be with the leftist.
Yes, it's there are some people who will have kind of a la carte choose one belief of the right that they adhere to.
Yeah.
They will act normally like a leftist, but there will be this thing like being a stay-at-home mom, and that they will do it.
Yeah, and they're posing like they are leftists. It's weird, like, because I think they are scared to be rejected. Like my mother, she said a woman can do any job she wants. And after I told her, oh, I would like to study maybe carpenter, maybe plumber. And she was like, oh, no, you should go study like cooking or like kindergarten teacher.
So inside they know it doesn't make
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah. It's weird. They're like their brain is weird.
Yes, well, Quebec is quite the society. I mean, I love the Quebec people, but oh my God, is it painful to live in such a double life as the root of your entire political involvement?
Yeah, my God, one time I was talking to my sister about all this. You know what she did? She pushed me.
She pushed you.
Yes.
right winger, go away.
Yes, they are crazy. I don't know
Apparently, this guy, according to Steven Crowder, is a pedophile. Listen, when you wear makeup like this, you have the anime Japanese type of gel hair. Of course, that's what you would suspect. Now, the family of a 12-year-old who's now 18-year-old is complaining that he's been grooming her. But since she's 12 years old and now she's 18, that's 6 years of space, of time. They've been letting her go on flights with him, go around the world. Listen, when you give your 12-year-old daughter to some adult male, sex will happen, they will get attached, he will consider her his girlfriend, she will consider herself his girlfriend. And now she's at 18 years old, and they're starting to complain about it, and they want to somehow stop their relationship. Now is not the time to act. Precisely at 18 years old, she now has the right to keep go doing what she didn't have the right to do before, what she had to have your permission to do before. But you have given your permission. You have sent your 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old daughter with this guy on plane trips and on trips where he would probably make her believe that she will become a big star or that she's with the right people. Somehow Ezra Miller, this guy is an actor of some kind. Absolutely ridiculous. Parents being totally desynchronized in how and when is the right time to be authoritarian. The right time to be authoritarian with your daughter was when she was 12 up to when she's 18. Now the past doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was once an abusive relationship. Now your daughter is an adult. Pocket King says, I believe that human societies ought to be structured around human emotion, but they should also have a structure that is consistent with itself. If you say that killing people makes me feel bad and therefore we ought not to do it, that's a fine argument, but you must build a society where all of the laws are consistent with that premise. Yes, okay. I don't disagree. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Jeff, unironic movie recommendation, Birds of Prey, The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. I've seen Birds of Prey, but is that a new one? I think I've seen Birds of Prey initially, but perhaps that's a new one. I'll check it out. Dead Star says, I don't believe in free will. I believe we are life carrying out the machinations of life. I believe every atom around us and all their whirling electrons are life, just like we are, nothing moral or immoral. Yes. Yes, except everything is right in what you stated. Except that the whirling electrons aren't life, or if they are life, we have to find at which level they are life. Is quantum Darwinism true? If so, maybe. If so, they may be seen as the phenotype of some life form. But as long as we haven't figured out the full structure of the universe in terms of what is replicating and what is not replicating, I don't think I would state that. Brett Kavanaugh, a armed man, has been arrested near Brett Kavanaugh's home, charged with attempting to murder a U.S. judge. He had equipment like a suitcase. He said he had suicidal thoughts. He had a firearm. He had tape, tie wraps. Rosk also had on hand a hammer, screwdriver. Not tie wraps, duct tape. He had duct tape, pistol light, crowbar, nail punch, screwdriver, and a hammer. And he had a Glock 17 pistol, two magazines, ammunition, pepper spray. Oh, he had zip ties. Yeah, so, and this guy called emergency authorities saying he's having suicidal thoughts and that he was alarmed by some of the shootings, including Uvalde, and also alarmed by the fact that Brett Kavanaugh was about to vote for the end of abortion rights at the federal level. I never understand these guys. I can understand the guy who goes on with the shooting. I cannot understand the guy who's standing in front of the house of Brett Kavanaugh and somehow calls 911. And like you have planned your entire thing. You have zip ties, you have a hammer, crowbar, you have so much material. All of this planning went into your toolbox. How do you end up on the landscape of Brett Kavanaugh and you call 911. This is incomprehensible to me. Hedge fund billionaire warns Biden's green policies could spark a train wreck for natural gas. Well, of course, all of the tightening on the ability of corporations to extract stuff, buy stuff, transport stuff in the energy sector. This is all going to lead to extreme rises of price and ultimately a non-functioning market. Twitter to give Elon Musk internal data on spam, fake accounts. Somehow people were saying, oh, Elon Musk has lost. Twitter will sue him for $1 billion and they will get the $1 billion from him and he's not going to buy Twitter. And no, it turns out Twitter has folded. Twitter will give Elon Musk the data he requests. And this is shocking. I didn't even know this. Twitter actually already had the data packaged because they're already selling it. The data that they're about to dump to Elon Musk is already being purchased by 24 companies. So all you had to do is allow Elon Musk to get what you're already spreading around for a fee. They said they will hand over a fire hose of data comprising more than 500 million tweets posted each day, along with account information, a real-time record of tweets, and the devices users tweet from. It could be given to Elon Musk as soon as this week. So basically, they've just opened to Elon Musk a portal that was already existing, that they were already selling to other corporations. Easy as this, and why they would resist, given that they're already doing it, I don't get it. But now Elon Musk would have access. So I think we're back to the track where Elon Musk may buy Twitter. Biden's move to force gender ideology by cutting off school lunch funding criticized by DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has criticized President Joe Biden's move to seize school lunch program funding to further what DeSantis characterized as woke gender ideology. In Florida, we are fighting against Biden's intentionally destructive policies like denying school lunches for states that refuse to implement woke gender ideology in the schools. So basically, the Biden administration says, we have money for food for young children. Here, you get the money, but only if you let trans people into the bathroom of their preferred desired sex. So you end up having the problem where there's a serious question here about how this is a scheme of extortion. If a state wants to live differently than the standard of the Democrats from Washington, D.C., can they? Or will they always be extorted with money like this? I hope that this gets in. Of course, there's a quick solution. Ron DeSantis can just say, well, we don't need that school money. Keep it for yourself. But in the long term, I would want Ron DeSantis to bring this to the Supreme Court. Because there's a big problem in giving that much control to the federal government, where they're using money as a condition to basically just reward those states that are sympathetic to the Democrats. LBRT says states should just not send money up to the federal government then. Well, that would be great. I don't know if they do. I think that the federal government is taxing the citizens. I don't know if Florida is sending the money to them. Chi Chi Ping says, JF, do animals have some kind of moral? Well, they do, by my definition of moral. Moral to me is structures that guide behavior. So, and on top of it, in humans, you have the communication of morals. So, in humans, you have, not only do I have my rules in my head as to what I will do if I see ice cream, but I can also communicate those rules to you. So animals have a lot of morals. They have a lot of behavioral codes that will say, all right, if you see a little baby of your species and that baby is likely to be yours, you're going to care for it. If it's a baby that's not likely to be yours, you might eat it. And various species have various such behavioral codes. Now, the big fallacy is those people who want to create a non-attainable threshold for the word moral. They would say, oh, well, those are just behavioral codes, JF. It's not moral. And it's like, what else than a behavioral code is moral? What is morality if not a behavioral code? And they will try to make it so human and so make a definition of morality that is so specific to humans that you're going to end up concluding that, oh yeah, only humans have morals. But the fact is, even communication of morals maybe existing in the animal world, although it's social learning is it's at the border of not existing. Like, sometimes we find some examples of social learning here and there in the animal kingdom. It's a rare thing, but it's there. So even the communication of morals exists, if not by, Of course, animals don't have human language. However, they can alert, for example. A monkey can alert other monkeys that some threat is occurring. A monkey can indirectly teach to their children by simply acting. And, for example, acting in a way that reveals a spot where food can be found. And the children and the other monkeys of the tribe can then know, oh, there's food there. Birds can do the same, where they will attract the other birds of the flock to a given spot with the hope that the whole flock can forage this spot that was found by a single bird. So you definitely have some degree of communication of behavioral codes in animals. Now, again, the psychologist and the human-centric, obsessed anthropomorphist will be there and say, well, that's not communication. The bird didn't intend for the flock to come. Well, intention, I don't care about it. Intention is not a fundamental aspect of communication. Intention is just something that humans report. We certainly have the virtual experience and we feel that we intend stuff, but that is not necessary for proper communication. This will all be, by the way, my second book, The Moral Signal. It's all going to be about this. You can have communication of behavioral codes without having intentions. You can have communication of behavioral codes without human language. You can have it without symbolic representation. You can have it without abstraction. You can have it without mimetic human culture or whatever. Dead Star says, historian, what JF would say is that although he has a preference for others to not commit theft against the universe, against them, against him, the universe does not have such a preference. Well, outside of me, because I'm in the universe. But yeah, outside of me, the universe doesn't have that preference. What else do we have in the news before we close the show? George Soros-funded liberal takeover of Hispanic radio stations reeks of desperation. Soros-backed effort alarms staffer at the South Florida conservative station Radio Membi. So George Soros, in line with the coming election, has purchased 18... Well, it's a group partially bankrolled by George Soros to purchase 18 Hispanic radio stations across 10 different markets. They are counting on turning the Latino community because they're seeing that they're losing the Latino community because the wokeness of the Democrats is very repealing to a community that is relatively religious and relatively socially conservative. So George Soros' plan is in the coming election to recruit the attention of the Hispanic community and get them to vote like black people in America. Whether he will succeed at this remains to be seen. I don't think they will be warm at the idea of getting that kind of Soros propaganda in their community. And a premium article, so I cannot read it on Zero Hedge, but I like the title. 73% of Trump voters believe Dems are trying to replace white Americans with immigrants who vote for them, new poll finds. Why isn't that 100%? Because this is an openly stated tactic of the Democrat Party. It's in the New York Times, it's in their opinion papers. They say it. We benefit from immigration because if white people control who the government will be, it will be Republican. And if non-white people control who the government will be, it will be Democrat. And the Democrats are very successful across America in those places where there's high levels of minority or other migrants. Head Roller is joining us on the Discord. Hello, Head Roller, are you there? You're gonna have to unmute yourself and set up your... Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, how are you doing?
That's pretty good. Just wondering what you think about forming a new religion.
Well, okay, I'll answer your question. What about forming a new religion? Yes, I don't think it's a lost cause. I don't think it's useless. But the problem is, will this new religion give enough of an advantage to survive and thrive and to outcompete other religions? Would a modern religion being born be sufficiently advantageous so that it will not only survive itself, but it would grow and outcompete the others? It would be different enough that it would be so much better to be part of that religion than to just be a reformed Christian of some modern conception of Christianity. So basically, it's always the problem of, do you build on something that already exists? Because you can make 1,000 different iterations of Christianity. And so why would you need to start a totally new thing and lose basically the social standing of Christianity? Perhaps the most efficient strategy is to have some kind of branching out of Christianity, which is what has been happening all over throughout American history. The original Protestants in Western Europe, and then eventually the evangelists in America, and the whole rereading of various forms of evangelism. So someone who would start an entirely new religion would be faced with lots of problems, lots of things that are probably best resolved under an already existing label. This would be one of the great difficulties. However, from a strictly logical perspective, I think that certainly a new philosophy is needed, a new approach to life. That's a little bit what I'm doing here on Odyssey, where I'm trying to lay out a full philosophical and scientific understanding of the world. You could call it, you know, you could call the people who come to this show every day followers of the JF religion. However, there are serious obstacles at a modern framework, philosophical or religious, to conquering the entire world or conquering even just a small portion of it. And perhaps the religious space is already overcrowded. We have to consider this. That is it for tonight, boys. Pocket King says the Big Bang Theory states that all of the universe descends from a single point of infinite density and energy and suddenly and unexplainably expanded from this point. Therefore, we are all one. One piece of a single whole. A single point, I don't know. I think people who say this about Big Bang, I think they're increasing the threshold a little too much. What we are stating about the beginnings of the universe is the universe was once more dense and more hot. We don't necessarily say infinitely hot, infinitely dense. We don't know what happened at the very beginning. We don't know what is the state of the world at this beginning. We just have very good evidence to believe that it was once hotter and denser. And therefore, we have to have made a way from a hot and dense universe to a cold and expanded universe. Much love, everyone, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.